Today's subject for That's a Thing is veterinary acupuncture. I'm sure most folks have heard of acupuncture as a health treatment, it's actually being used with animals. And so we're going to hear about that from a couple of folks today. I think we're going to be speaking first off with Erica Bruner. She's a veterinarian who has a business devoted to veterinary acupuncture. And I want to hear all about it. So Erica Bruner, I believe, is on the phone with us. Good morning, Erica.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
And let me ask you, let me make sure I understand first off, is veterinary acupuncture your main thing, or is it just, do you have a sort of, you know, what people think of as a regular veterinary practice that then does some acupuncture?
Well, it's actually about half of what I do. The other half is end-of-life care, which I usually do with house calls, and that might be consultations about end-of-life care for pets that are in that stage,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes just home euthanasia for folks. So those are the kind of two aspects of my practice. I used to be a general practitioner. I started doing that in central Vermont in 2002, but in 2017, I decided to focus my practice on those two aspects, which really are the ones that kind of call to me the most. So I've stopped doing general practice.
I see. Okay. You know, and it is interesting to me because, I mean, I sort of think to myself, well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I actually might have used your services a couple of years ago. We had a dog who ended up dying and was in that sort of end stage for a while. And we, you know, we wondered kind of how to respond to the situation and, you know, when to finally make a decision to have the dog go. Have the dog put to sleep, et cetera. And, you know, very tough thing for many, many pet owners when you get to that stage. And having somebody guide you through it who's well practiced at it might be a smart thing to do. So I guess one reaction there would be to say that's a thing also. But, you know, I don't want to make light of it because obviously that's a tough time in many pet owners and pets' lives. So, but veterinary acupuncture, again, it makes sense when I think of it because if people can benefit from acupuncture, then, you know, these dogs and cats, et cetera, are generally mammals. I guess there are some pets that aren't mammals, but, we can talk about whether turtles can get acupuncture in a moment.
They can.
Wow. Okay. So, I wanted to ask you, you know, are you, is this a thriving thing? Or, I mean, how do people first learn about veterinary acupuncture and, are they beating your door down?
Well, you know, I do have at this point probably a new client every week or two. So yeah, I would say it is an actively growing thing. There are other vets in Vermont that do this, and you know, I know they're busy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what was the other part of your question?
Well, I was just mainly trying to figure out.
Where do my referrals come?
Yeah,
from?
how do you get the word out and that sort of thing?
It's two things. Sometimes it's people are calling me because they've benefited themselves from acupuncture, and they would really like their animal to benefit. So I get referrals from local acupuncturists.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's the local veterinary clinic that will refer folks, especially if they're seeing that the animals may be struggling with some issues that conventional medicine hasn't been as helpful for as people would like, or that maybe they see the person's bent is, you know, kind of a little bit away from conventional medicine, more interested in a more alternative therapy. So it's probably about split the referrals that I get, some from the acupuncture community and some from the veterinary community.
Now, I think we have a client of yours calling in on the other line. Let me get a word from Mike D'Onofrio. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Do I have that right? Are you a client of Erica Bruner and her veterinary acupuncture practice?
Yeah, that's true. Our dog, Dustin, is a client.
Wow. Okay. And why did you decide your dog needed acupuncture?
So he's 16. He's a lab mix.
Mm-hmm.
He's had like a very, very active life until he was about 11 or 12. He was always out, you know, in the woods with us, skiing, jogging, mountain biking, you know, going top speed. So he's aged well, but in the last maybe year, we've noticed that his back end in particular has just looked really, you know, weak and stiff. And My wife Kelly, you know, knew about Erica's practice, and we decided to give it a try as something to, you know, provide some relief and flexibility.
And the how has it worked? Have you had success with this?
Yeah, definitely. We see Erica every, you know, maybe 10 days to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very noticeable how, you know, as we get closer to the appointment, his movement just looks a lot stiffer. He just looks a lot older in the way that he moves. And generally when we get home from an appointment and get him out of the car, he runs around the yard and like rolls around in the grass, and you know, it's like it rejuvenates him.
Huh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So have you, is this something you've talked to your friends about and said, hey, you know, your dog might benefit from acupuncture, or your cat might benefit from acupuncture as well?
I have told a couple of friends of mine who have, you know, their dogs are not yet to our dog's point, but mm-hmm. they're like kind of similar. Like they're dogs that they've had for years, had them out on the trails. They're starting to show their age a bit. I always mention, you know, this is something that just from the eyeball test is working for us.
Yeah, that is, and how did you first hear about this or think about it, or how did it occur to you to go get your dog? And by the way, what's your dog's name?
His name is Dustin.
Dustin, okay.
Yep.
And so how did it occur to you to get Dustin treated with acupuncture?
Erica might actually be able to answer that better than me, oddly enough, because I'm pretty sure the initial connection was between Erica and my wife, Kelly. Erica, do you remember how we got started?
Yeah, I think maybe Kelly heard about the kind of end-of-life side of my practice, and the first time I met you guys was at a house call, which I did to do kind of like end-of-life evaluation and consultation about, you know, how to improve his comfort. And so we didn't start off with acupuncture right away. We looked at some other stuff, but it seemed pretty clear that mobility was a big issue for him and that acupuncture would be useful. So that is how we got going.
Yeah. So we figured, you know, give it a shot, you know, try it once and see what happens. And it was really like what I described. It was like from the, you know, before the appointment to after the appointment was just a noticeable difference in, you know, how Dustin was behaving.
Wow. So, yeah. And how did Dustin behave in the appointment with the acupuncture actually going on?
Well, he loves it because he gets just fed a steady stream of treats to keep him, you know, relatively still. So when we take him, it's basically the only place we ever take him in the car is Erica's office.
Yeah.
So
okay.
When we start to get ready to go in the car, he's like, let's go. And, you know, I think it feels weird to him from the way that he moves around as some of the needles are being applied. It clearly doesn't hurt him because he doesn't, you know, yelp or flinch.
Yeah.
But he's so distracted by the treats that I think for him, it's like a, you know, a day at the beach.
That sounds like, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't, next time I go for acupuncture, I'm going to ask for a steady stream of treats too. That'll be good. Vastly improved the experience, but
definitely.
And yeah, that is pretty funny, I gotta say. Mike D'Onofrio, I appreciate you getting on the air with us on short notice and providing a little testimonial here. I think it's very helpful for folks out there to understand that not only are there practitioners out there doing this, but there are happy customers and dog pet owners who are going in for they're bringing their animals in for veterinary acupuncture, and that is that's pretty cool. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. You know, like I said, it's just the results are just very, very tangible and clear to the eye with our pet.
Uh-huh.
And Erica is super, super wonderful to deal with on top of it all. So
well, that's great.
Yep.
All righty. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, you bet.
Erica Bruner, I'm wondering, we've heard a story about an elderly dog who gets kind of vivified or whatever, you know, rejuvenated mm-hmm. by acupuncture treatments. Are there other pet issues, health issues, or behavioral issues that also can be addressed with acupuncture?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as you could imagine, given the kind of orientation of my practice being toward end-of-life care, and I've always had a special fondness for old animals, so they do make up the majority of my acupuncture patients.
I see. Okay. Well,
but I have also treated younger animals with acute injuries, like especially back pain and neck pain is something that really responds well to acupuncture. I have treated dogs with allergies. I haven't had a chance to treat as many of those yet. And then, you know, they do use acupuncture for people for kind of psychological issues such as depression and PTSD.
And actually, Erica, before we get back to the questions, about, I wanted to ask you about some kind of behavioral psychological care for pets with acupuncture. Talk to me a little bit about the end-of-life services that you provide, because my impression is, you know, it's obviously tough for animals, any living thing that is approaching the end of life. Often there's pain involved, there's illness, there is, you know, all sorts of issues like that. But when it's a dog or a cat who is in the last stage of life, oftentimes suffering, it's a really, really tough thing for the owner of that pet to make a decision about maybe putting the pet down. Do you talk and work with owners about that stuff as well?
You know, sometimes people call me when they already know and they're ready for euthanasia, and so that can be very, you know, fairly straightforward. I mean, it certainly has a lot of feeling, of course, that goes with it, but maybe not so much the struggle of the decision. Then there are other times where, you know, maybe people have been through a decision before, but it wasn't like this one, or maybe they've never been through a decision before. I think it's especially hard when someone is gradually declining because there's so much we don't know. You know, we don't really know exactly how they feel. We don't know how they feel about what's going on for them. Often people don't know what the options are for their pets. And then if you add in the fact that, you know, these usually older pets who quite often over time have developed an understandable dislike for going into the vet clinic. And so even though people could use some help from a veterinarian, they're understandably reluctant to bring them into a clinic, stress them out. You know, and maybe they already know that, well, you know, I don't want to do a lot of testing and intervention. I really just want a kind of quality of life, peaceful, you know, maybe symptom-based palliative care type approach. So that is also a big part of what I do. And sometimes a consult is really about that, about exactly what's going on medically and physically and how we might address that with some comfort measures. And other times the consultation is more on the sort of, you know, kind of like emotional, philosophical, moral side of things, because there's a whole bunch of that too. Like people can feel very uncomfortable about making a euthanasia decision. It can often feel like playing God, or it can feel like an inappropriate decision for a human being to be making for another living being. So there's just a lot of struggle around that sometimes for people. And so, yeah, these are hard decisions.
Yeah, that is for sure. I think we actually have another client on the line I wanted to check in with as well. I think it's Maura Quinn joining us. And good morning, Maura.
Yes, it is. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Maura, tell us how you use Erica's veterinary acupuncture services, and have they been helpful in first of all, actually, I should ask you have a dog or a cat?
Sorry, it's a little loud. They're doing some road work around here, and I'm outside because my other dogs want me to go to the woods with them, and they're barking at me if I don't take them.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hiding in the corner right now telling you that Boris, our standard poodle, who's 9 years old, he started developing, you know, this EM. Erica could tell you exactly what it is, but where his back legs weren't getting the signal that they were supposed to be getting to function. And we spent a lot of money on over at Bev's with x-rays and all sorts of other analysis of what was wrong with him. And there wasn't anything wrong that they could see physically, like a muscle or bone or anything like that. But it was this nerve issue was the only other possibility, they thought. And it was very upsetting because he was a very active dog. And I don't know if you've ever seen standard poodles run, but when they're really in full flight, they're like about they go bouncing and just leaping. And he wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He was just really slowed up. And I take him walking every day, all three of my dogs. And it was very upsetting because that's my boy, you know?
Yeah,
my
yeah.
boy, boy.
And,
it's amazing. I did some research. There's nothing else is going to help. And he's like, well, it's some, and so did some research and met with Erica, and she told us how she had had the, what was it, tendonitis, and she wasn't able to get any kind of help, and then she did acupuncture, and it worked for her, and so she thought maybe it'll work for pets, and and so that reassured me, and that, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing the difference between where he was back in November and where he is now. I mean, I was concerned about what's it going to be like in the winter, and basically it didn't, we kept going out every day. We were able to continue. And, I mean, I'm so immensely grateful that she's there and that this process works because, you know, I love him.
Yeah, sure. Well, Maura, that's a fine testimonial. I really appreciate you calling in this morning and checking in with us. It's good talking with you, and best of luck with your three dogs and your daily walks with them. I hope they stay healthy for a long time.
Me too.
Alrighty. All right. Hey, Erica Bruner is my guest. She is a veterinarian, also a veterinary acupuncturist. And Erica, tell me, I probably should have asked the story on my own, but Maura kind of prompts me here. You had a case of tendonitis, you got acupuncture yourself, found it successful, and that's how you decided, hey, let's try with this with animals. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I actually, as a veterinarian, was really never interested in alternative medicine and kind of, you know, thought that acupuncture was fairy dust, and sometimes people would ask me for a recommendation for their dogs, and I would give them names of people that I knew that did acupuncture for pets, but inside I was thinking, like, oh, that probably doesn't work, or, you know, so I really had no belief in it at all, and mm-hmm. I developed this elbow tendonitis that was basically debilitating. Like, at a certain point, it took me, I had to use two hands to pick up a glass of water.
Wow.
It was painful every night. I would wake up in the middle of the night in pain, and, you know, I went to see occupational therapist, who was great, but I had this ongoing inflammation. They couldn't really work with me. I saw some surgeons. It's not really a surgical condition. And after a couple of years of really not being able to do things that I wanted to do and having trouble also, you know, doing work like nail trims were especially bad.
Hmm.
I finally ended up kind of in desperation at, quote, the last house on the street, quote, which was, you know, my acupuncturist, she became. And it took a while for me to improve because it had been going on for a long time at that point. But not only did my elbows get better and my pain resolve, but also other things in my life that I thought I just kind of had to deal with, like, you know, sometimes have episodes of low mood, trouble sleeping, maybe some mild digestive stuff. That's really, none of it was bad enough to need Western medicine. And that stuff started to get better for me too, which I didn't expect at all. And seeing that, and also seeing how basically simple, you know, it's sort of a minute to learn, a lifetime to master kind of thing. But in concept, acupuncture is fairly simple. It doesn't require a lot of fancy equipment. It doesn't require diagnostics because in Chinese medicine, we work with the symptoms, you know, the kind of location of what's going on and what the quality is of what's going on there and the pulse, which we can feel. And so I thought at that point I was a house call practitioner, and I was thinking, wow, this would be really great for house calls and for elderly pets because it just doesn't, you know, they don't have to do a bunch of fancy diagnostics, and I could do it with anybody. So then I went off to the Qi Institute of Traditional Chinese Veterinary Medicine, which is in Redick, Florida, and they have a 6-month certification program for veterinarians. So I did that in 2016, and then I started doing acupuncture for pets.
Wow. So that is interesting. And you were telling me that there are a number of other acupuncturists, pet acupuncturists in Vermont as well. So I guess this really is a thing. It's something that I just wasn't familiar with before I first heard about it last week. Let's bring in a couple of callers. We have Nancy on the line from Morrisville. Good morning, Nancy.
Hello, and thank you. I have to tell your practitioner that I admire her choice of specialties. I have a philosophy that I learned from a plaque in a veterinarian's office many years ago that came from Roy Rogers, that the best doctor is a veterinarian because he can't ask questions about symptoms and problems. He just has to know. I've had several very long-lived pets, cats, dogs, who have benefited from acupuncture. And one example was our Labrador Retriever, who had been dealt with Lyme disease and multiple myeloma with the expectation, and they were not simultaneous, with the expectation of approximately a year to live. Well, that girl lived about 3 years longer to the age of 16, and she experienced great relief in general and in flexibility, mobility, and died pretty much of natural causes at the age of 16. We also had a cat who had come from a shelter and was pretty reticent retiring. So, you know, as the dog obviously had physical benefits, this cat really got psychological benefits from it. She would literally scream bloody murder when we first started the needles. But she was somebody, unusually a cat, who didn't want to be touched. But I'll tell you what, after those first couple, three needles went in, she just completely relaxed, ended up with probably about 15 needles, and she would sit so quietly for the 20 minutes, half hour of the treatment, and the result was absolutely noticeable. You could see the results. She was psychologically much more confident, had much greater ability in terms of physical. And as a sideline, after I had taken my pets, I myself benefited very much from acupuncture to help neck shoulder situation. Mm-hmm. So I really have to endorse veterinarians in general and acupuncture as well. And thank you for hearing me.
All righty. Well, thank you for the call. I've had a couple of emails here from a good friend and a WDEV colleague, Joel Nashman. His first email to me this morning, he was saying that he was on pins and needles waiting for the veterinary acupuncture segment of the radio program. But he later was actually asking about cats, and he said, my Bengal cat Cleo has 20 sharp needles of her own that an acupuncturist would have to avoid. Does she do cats? So, Erica Bruner, what's your answer to, I think we know the answer, but talk a little bit about cats.
Yes, I think cats are actually great patients. They respond really well to acupuncture. It often doesn't require as many needles to treat them as it might with a dog. There's something about being more sensitive, which is actually a benefit in treatment, because the more sensitive someone is, maybe the more challenging it might be to treat them, but the quicker they'll respond, and usually the less, you know, actual needles they might need. So most of my patients are dogs. I think that might have to do somewhat with folks' reluctance to leave the house, you know, with their cat to take them out to another place. But I do have some cat patients, and I use smaller needles with them. I go maybe a little bit more slowly with them, but they certainly are treatable. I have a friend from my acupuncture program. She was actually one of my instructors, and she's a feline-only practitioner in St. Augustine, Florida. And to see her treat cats, it's a thing of beauty, because she distracts them with little, I mean, we're really good at distracting with treats because we want to be their friend. Like, we don't want to force and compel them to undergo something that's stressful and miserable. We want them to enjoy it. So her technique is to use little bits of butter, and she distracts kitties with that and then places needles with ease. So I am working to become as effortless with cats as she is, but cats, you can treat cats too. People do worry about how their animal is going to tolerate the treatment, but most of the time I found that it's much better than anybody is worrying about.
Let's bring in another listener calling in. It's Laura from Hyde Park. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
What's on your mind today?
So I first talked to Dr. Bruner back in April when my greyhound, Ernie, was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is an aggressive form of bone cancer. I would go to the ends of the earth for my dog, as I think most pet owners these days would do. And I hadn't decided what I was going to do to treat him. Was I going to do an amputation? I'd heard a lot about acupuncture. I have, my mother-in-law has dogs, and she's taken them to acupuncture. What I think Dr. Bruner brings to the table, besides performing the acupuncture itself, is her ability to explain things to, you know, us as pet guardians. We want to do our best. And what I also thought about Dr. Bruner was getting Ernie comfortable with her, as this form of cancer usually ends with you euthanizing your pet because the cancer will spread even with aggressive treatment. So Dr. Bruner will come to our house when it's time to send Ernie off into the netherworld. So she's a remarkable human being and someone who I trust to ask. And I think what's nice about her is she performs the acupuncture, but you know, she is a veterinarian. So she has all of this advice and all of this knowledge that you lean on to make the best decisions for your pet. So I can't say enough good things about her and her bedside manner as well. So she's truly a gem.
Well, there's quite a testimonial also.
Unsolicited. Thank you, Laura. Nice to hear you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, she's amazing. So I think for people too, it's like she was saying, they could use the help from a veterinarian's office. But at the end of life, when you're letting your pet go too, to have them be able to be in the comfort of their own home and on their bed and not having to bring them in for that last session. And I know some people don't have the opportunity to get to do that, but to have her have the service to you, you know, have that, those last moments of peace with your dog, I think is just huge and wonderful.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate that sort of spontaneous response we get occasionally from listeners who may not have known they were going to be calling this morning, but to hear something on the radio that prompts them to say, I'm going to speak up about that. That's a good thing. That's one of the fun things about this radio program for sure. And Erica Bruner, I'm wondering if you're, I did want to get into a little bit with you, discussion about behavioral issues with pets, because there are dogs who are perhaps way younger in life, even, toward the puppy end of the range. And people are trying to teach them not to jump on folks, not to bark furiously when somebody comes to the door, maybe, you know, and not to act aggressive or even biting. And that kind of thing early in life. Is there anything that a veterinary acupuncturist can do for those situations?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a little trickier because, to me, the physical complaints, especially pain, are probably more straightforward to treat. You know, the anatomy and physiology of dogs and cats is very similar to that of humans, and so making a transfer over from human Chinese medicine and acupoints for various conditions to pets is fairly straightforward, just like it is often with medicine. You know, sometimes people are surprised to learn, oh, you use that? I thought that was a people medicine. Well, you can use it in pets too. When you're talking about those kind of psychological and behavioral things, I think it may be a little bit trickier. It may take a little bit longer to figure out the right approach. Chinese medicine treats the whole being. So when we look at what's going on, we can put things together, both physical symptoms and also kind of emotional behavioral symptoms together into a pattern, whether it's, you know, too much heat in one system or deficiencies in another system. So I would say that, you know, expecting a little bit more time to address that would be a good thing, but I think I have had less opportunities to treat those issues, but I really look forward to treating them. They're some of the most interesting and also some of the most widespread issues. I mean, the biggest reason for animals to get given up to shelters is for behavior reasons. So mm-hmm. If we can address that and help them stay in their homes and, of course, help them be happier, then that's a really good thing. And we want to use everything that we can to bring that about. So as a combination of an approach that might include a conventional veterinary behaviorist maybe or some training, especially for dogs, with a competent trainer, positive reinforcement, those are all things that would help. And I think acupuncture could be part of that as well.
Hmm. And in terms of the, I guess I would ask then, order a battle, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase. But the first person you call is maybe not an acupuncturist, but would be a trainer, and then maybe a veterinary behaviorist, an acupuncturist third on the list, or where does it sort of rank in that sense? For folks who are upset about, oh, geez, my dog just, is chasing cars down the street again or something.
I think it really depends on what the issue is. You know, if you have a house soiling issue, there may well be a medical reason for that, and probably a conventional vet might be your first stop to rule out something like, say a urinary tract infection or a urinary problem if someone is peeing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a situation where it's a young dog and they're maybe a little too exuberant when they greet visitors or too kind of, anxious and fly off the handle when somebody comes to the house.
Yeah.
Getting more exercise, having some appropriate training, teaching people how to teach dogs what they want them to do, which is what trainers do. You know, maybe there's nothing physiologically wrong with that dog. Maybe they don't have an emotional disturbance. Maybe they just don't get enough activity in their day, and they need the person to give them a clear and consistent message of how they want the dog to behave. So that's really more of a trainer-type issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, say you have a dog who's just seems extremely anxious and flipped out about things that normal dogs tolerate easily, that where the anxiety seems kind of pathological. I think that's probably, coming from my conventional veterinary background, I would always say go visit your vet or talk to your vet first. But that's a kind of situation where I think acupuncture could be very relevant also.
Yeah, that sounds like another approach that could be tried for folks who maybe have tried others, or mm-hmm. maybe a first approach. That's interesting.